Well, hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Revolution. My name is Matt. I am one of the pastors here at Revolution. So glad you're here. So glad you're joining us online. And who's excited, man? Today is May 1st. It is finally here, man. The month of May is here. Warmer weather. Yes, give it up, man. May is awesome. Right? Warmer weather. The trees are starting to bud. We've got that. I don't know about where you live, but where I do, occasionally, especially on the weekends, you start smelling grills going, the smell of cooking meats wafting in the air. Man, that's awesome. And of course, May is one of the greatest months of the year because May gives us in the state of Indiana the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500. Yes. Who's been to the Indy 500? All right. Who's going this year? Who couldn't care less? All right, I'm going to pray for you guys. All right, I'm going to pray for you guys. If you know me, I'm a huge racing fan. It runs deep in me and my family, so I love the 500. We're kicking off a brand new series today. It's called After Jesus, and we're going to get it kind of going today, explain what this After Jesus thing is. Next week is Mother's Day. I'm excited because my wife, Lindsay, is going to be giving her first talk next week here on Mother's Day. Yeah. Which, from what I understand, is kind of a tradition here at Revolution of moms giving their first talk on Mother's Day. And so that's the angle I took. Rather than, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to put you to work on Mother's Day, it's like, you get to be a part of a tradition. It's awesome. but after that, so she's going to talk about parenting after Jesus. After that, we're going to talk about the early church after Jesus, you know, after he died, was resurrected, what did the early church look like, and then we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit after Jesus. So it's kind of going to be a great, great series. I'm excited to get it going today, and that's where we're going to start today. In the book of Matthew, chapter 2, it says this, after Jesus. That's it. Thank you, guys. We're going to pray and get out of here. No, I'm kidding. There's more to it than that. A few years back, I was reading through the Gospels, and I ran across this, after Jesus. And it hit me. Like, those words are so profound. Those words are so important. It was one of those moments where God was like, you need to look at this. You need to look at this. You need to think about this. And so here we are, you know, a few years later, we're together. We're talking about this. Because here's the thing, right? I think we tend to be a people that like to base a lot of our lives on that word after, right? Like, I'll feel better after I get this promotion. We'll get along better after we get married. Here's a good one. Our relationship will improve after we have kids. Okay, if that's where you're at, man, we need to talk, okay? Here's a good one. I will start dieting after I eat this piece of pizza. After the weekend, I'm going to start that diet. I'm going to get on it. I'm going to mow the yard after I finish this level. Sometimes it's a little bit more, it hits a little deeper, you know, like, I'm going to talk to my dad right after he apologizes. Right? So as you can see what I mean, like, there's a whole bunch of us that kind of live in and around that word after. Right? Like, there's a whole set of conditions that we need to meet in order for us to feel satisfied, fulfilled. When in reality, the biggest after that we need in our lives is this moment of after Jesus, right? Because when we have this moment of after Jesus, when we have this moment of completely surrendering ourselves to Jesus, man, that's when everything changes. It's that moment when it makes sense that God sent his son for us. And that he sent his son to die for us. And that it's a kind of love that we can't fully comprehend, but it's a moment where this love of Jesus just makes sense to us. And guys, this is an all-in moment, right? When you have that moment of fully surrendering to Jesus, it is an all-in moment. Like the Bible says that when we fully accept Jesus as our Savior, we die to ourselves. Luke 9 explains more of this, where it says, "Then he said to them," this is Jesus, "then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it." This is pretty demanding language, right? We have to deny ourselves. But I like myself. Like, I like doing stuff that makes me feel good. I have to deny it. I like that. We have to take up our cross every day and follow Jesus. That's a lot of work. I have to lose my life, but if I do, I'll save it. I mean, this is pretty intense stuff. This is pretty intense stuff. It's asking a lot. But what this verse is saying is that our life is to be a life of surrender. Our life is meant to be a life of sacrifice. Our lives are meant to be a life of service to Jesus. And yeah, that's asking a lot of us, but we have to understand and remember that Jesus gave up a lot for us. But there's a lot of us that just aren't willing to make that jump. Like, we love the idea of Jesus, right? We love the idea of Jesus, the thought of gentle Jesus holding that sheep, right? Like, that's the idea of Jesus that we love. But we forget about the sacrifices that we have to make in order to be truly all in with him. And so we hold on to the things of this world. We hold on to the things of this world we don't want to let go. We hold on to things like our jobs, our hobbies, sports, our lifestyles. Some other things like they can also be, we hold on to anxieties. We hold on to stress. We hold on to addictions. We hold on to sins. Right now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to have an interest in sports. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a job or whatever. But what I'm saying is a lot of times we let these things get between us and our relationship with Jesus. We are holding on to them for dear life because we're used to them, because we like them, because it puts food on our, whatever the reason is, we are holding on to it and it's not letting us get fully all in with Jesus. It's like this. It's like Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt in the cinematic masterpiece, Twister. There's a scene at the end where there's this tornado, and it's the big tornado of the movie, and it's chasing them down. It's going through this barnyard, and it's destroying everything around them, and they somehow attach themselves to this pipe, and there's a leather strap thing, and as the tornado's passing over them, it lifts them up. It lifts them up, and they're attached to the straps. They're not going anywhere, but there's debris, there's junk. It's flying everywhere, and it looks like this. All right, so here they are. This tornado's going. There's lightning. There's junk flying around. They're getting lifted up. They're going. And you can see them. The tornado is fighting. This is how some of us are with our relationship to Jesus. Right? That's how some of us are. We want to be fully in, but there's so much this world has to offer. There's so much that we don't want to let go of. Right, we could feel Jesus pulling us. We could feel Jesus pulling us to him, but we're too afraid, too stubborn, we're too independent to really let go and be all in. But like I said before, man, when you make that decision, when you go all in and have that after Jesus moment, everything changes. Everything changes. And the Bible is actually very clear on this. Right, when you go through the Bible and you look at all the interactions that Jesus had with various people that he came in contact with, You could see that the Bible is very clear. And the thing is that a lot of times these interactions that Jesus had with people were very quick. They may be a few seconds long. They may be a few minutes. You know, sometimes a little bit longer. But nearly every single person, when you read the Bible, nearly every single person that Jesus comes in contact with, they were dramatically changed after that interaction. Right, and again, some of these happen very quickly. Some of them happen in a matter of seconds. But for some other people, they had this extended time with Jesus. They had this this opportunity to spend a whole bunch of time with him. And the group I'm talking about in particular are the 12 disciples, right? Because they had their own set of sort of prolonged period with Jesus. And for like 3 years, they traveled with him. They learned from him. They ate with him. But they all had to make that decision to be all in with him, right? They all had their story of their lives before Jesus, and they had the story of their lives after Jesus. And they had to let go of some things, right? They had jobs. They had families. They had homes. They had relationships that they had to let go of to be all in with Jesus. So let's look at the 12 disciples here. We have Peter, Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot. As I look at these names, the first thing I think is I should really start going by Matthew, son of Clifford. I think that would be great. I think it would clear up some confusion with my last name if I just went, I'm Matthew, son of Clifford. But that's just me. But as I'm looking at these, there's some heavy hitters here, right? Like Peter. Peter was instrumental in the church. He was instrumental throughout the ministry of Jesus. Jesus told him, my whole church is going to be founded on you. You know, Peter was a heavy hitter in this group. There's James. James was one of those that was like really, really close to Jesus. There's John. John wrote like 5 books of the Bible. You know, so there's some heavy hitters in this group that did some really amazing things. But I want to focus on the disciple that maybe some of us can relate to most, and that is this guy named Thaddeus. Right? You're like, Thaddeus, yeah, that who? What? We don't know much about Thaddeus. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot to go on when it comes to Thaddeus. In fact, what we could piece together about Thaddeus, I'm not going to lie, it's when if you look at it from one perspective, it's kind of sad sack, right? It's kind of like if Charlie Brown were a disciple, he might be Thaddeus. For starters, we can't seem to get his name right. In Matthew and Mark, he's called Thaddeus, but in the King James Version of Matthew, he's called Lebaeus. In the book of Luke, he's called Judas, son of James. And when John writes about Thaddeus, he calls him Judas, not Iscariot, because Judas Iscariot was kind of a terrible person. So we can't get his name right. And as someone with kind of a strange last name, I feel that. Like I can relate to that. But maybe you're thinking, okay, he's still a member of the 12. Maybe he has some inspirational quotes. Maybe there's some profound insider wisdom that he gave us throughout the Gospels, some information, some inspiration, but no, Thaddeus is quoted one time, and that is in the book of John 14, if you want to look it up. But when he's finally quoted, he's totally confused about what's going on. He's like, what? What's happening? Why are you? Right, so here we have Thaddeus. We can't get his name right. We don't know anything about where he came from. He's quoted once in the Bible. He's confused at that. So you can sort of see, you know, the Charlie Brown sad sack similarities here. Like I said, that's one way to look at Thaddeus. Another way to look at Thaddeus is this. He had a life before Jesus, right? He had a job. He had a career. He had a family. He maybe had hobbies. He probably had things he enjoyed doing. He probably had friends. And then he met this guy named Jesus. He met this guy named Jesus, and everything changed. And we don't know what that meeting was like, right? The Bible doesn't tell us what the meeting was like between Jesus and Thaddeus. But Jesus must have saw something in Thaddeus. Jesus must have saw something in Thaddeus to cause him to look at Thaddeus and say, I want you to follow me. And Thaddeus did. Thaddeus was obedient in that calling. Thaddeus was all in. He left behind his family, his job, his friends, his hobbies. He was all in with Jesus. And so for the next 3 years, he traveled with Jesus. He learned from him, ate with him. And Jesus was preparing him for the job after Jesus' death, to go out into the world and spread the gospel. Right now, the Bible doesn't tell us again where Thaddeus went after that. Like, we're not exactly sure. Now, a lot of scholars believe that he established a church in what is now modern-day Turkey. In fact, I think it was northern Turkey. But we have to assume that he did what he was being equipped to do. That he went out into the world, he shared the gospel to who knows how many people. Right? Hundreds of thousands, millions? I don't know. We don't know, and that's okay. In fact, I'm going to take a side route here. All right, it's okay that we don't know how many people that he ministered to. Because even though Thaddeus is kind of obscure, he's kind of unknown, he may not have devotions dedicated to his life in the YouVersion app, he was still obedient. He was still faithful. Right, and even though we may not know what he did, God does. God knows exactly the kind of impact that Thaddeus had. God knows exactly the kind of impact that Thaddeus had on the world. And so if you're serving here, and if you are doing something like, I don't know, running a camera, serving coffee, opening a door for someone, setting up chairs, man, you are doing the work for the kingdom of God. We do these things not to make ourselves look good. We do these things because we have this incredible Father in heaven that has done incredible things for us, right? So anyway, getting back to Thaddeus. Think about this for a minute. He was one of the 12, right? He was one of the 12 disciples whose only job, the only job they had, was to learn from Jesus and then go take it out into the world. We're sitting here today partly because of the obedience and the work those 12 did. Thaddeus was a part of that, right? After he had Jesus in his life. After Jesus, he was part of this movement that changed the world, right? Nearly 2,000 years later, we're here partly because the work of an unknown disciple named Thaddeus, which is kind of amazing, right? That's kind of amazing. And Thaddeus is just one example in the Bible, and I picked him just because I don't think I've ever heard anyone speak on Thaddeus before. But I thought it would be kind of fun. And the Bible gives us so many times, so many lives that were dramatically changed when people had their after Jesus moment. Jesus had interactions with lepers. And if you know anything about leprosy back in the day, it was a very serious disease, and lepers were considered unclean and separated from others. No one wanted to do anything with them. In fact, by law, they had to be sent outside the city. And Jesus would show compassion and love and healed many people that had leprosy. They had their after Jesus moment with him. Right, people that were sick in the Bible, that had all sorts of diseases, Jesus healed them and gave them an after Jesus moment. People that were blind, there's multiple times that he healed blind people and gave them an after Jesus moment. There's people that were actually dead, right? He had a very good friend named Lazarus who was dead 4 days. And Jesus came in, brought him back to life after Jesus moment. Right, a few weeks ago, Nate talked about the woman at the well. And she went from a life of shame. She went from a life of embarrassment. She went from that, in just a few minutes, sitting with Jesus, to literally running in the streets, proclaiming who he is. unashamed because she had an after Jesus moment. Right? It goes on and it goes on. All of these people, all of these stories, they had a life before Jesus and then a dramatically changed after Jesus. Right? Revolution is a church full of people that have had after Jesus moments. Right? That moment where the love of God, the love of Jesus, it makes sense, something clicks, and everything changes. Right? Relationships have been healed, marriages have been renewed, addictions have been broken. It's all happened because we're a church full of people that have been radically changed after Jesus. So what about you? Right? What does your after Jesus moment look like? Have you taken that step to be all in with Jesus? Are you ready to let go and be fully in with Jesus? Is that where you're at? Or are you still hanging on to that pipe like Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt? And if you do have your after Jesus moment, do you have that story ready so you can share it with other people? Because that's the most effective tool you have is your own story, right? If our mission of this church is to help people find Jesus and live like him, the most effective tool you have is your own story. Right? What has Jesus done for you? What has he done in your life? What was your life like before Jesus and now after Jesus? Right? Let me share my own after Jesus moment with you. I may have shared this from the stage before. I'm going to share it again. I grew up going to church, but we were kind of a family that just sort of went out of obligation. And so we didn't really live out the church through the week. Church was something that we just did. So I knew about Jesus, I knew about God, but it wasn't until September 2014 that it all clicked, it all made sense, and man, I was all in. I was at the Great Banquet, Calvary Presbyterian Church, and it was Friday afternoon, and one of the talks that was being given hit real close to me, and you know, I went into that week and think, I don't need this. And I heard this talk, and it hit real close. And I started trying to hold back the tears. And, you know, when you do that, it just gets worse and worse. And by the end of his talk, I was a blubbering mess, absolute blubbering mess. And that's when this group of five guys, they got me up, took me out of the room, put me in a different room. And I couldn't even, like, I was crying so hard, I couldn't even form the words as to what I was struggling with. But it didn't matter. These five guys, they laid hands on me. They prayed for me. They lifted me up. They didn't know me. They didn't know my story. They didn't know where I came from. And it didn't matter to them. They were there for me simply because they love Jesus. And they love me because of that. And I'd never, ever experienced anything like that in my life. And that's when Jesus made sense to me, right? That's when I finally figured out what the love of Jesus looks like. And that's when I decided I am all in. From this moment on, man, I am all in. And that's when everything changed in me. That was my after Jesus moment. And so again, I ask you, what does your after Jesus moment look like, right? Have you taken this step to be all in, right? And if you have, do you have your story ready? I'm telling you guys, it is the most effective thing you can give is your story. What has Jesus done before? Like, what was your life before? What has Jesus done for you? What does it look like after? Right? And as I wrap up, I just want to add that after Jesus, it's not only a specific time, it's not only a specific moment, but it's also an action. Right? Living a life pursuing after Jesus, which means you're intentional about this relationship with him, getting involved in serving, right? We have a great resource at revolutioncc.org/teams. If you don't know where to start, you can do that. You can start with our greeting team, our new hospitality team that we're putting together. Man, come to that meeting. It's a great place to start if you don't know where to start. You can just fill out the connect form on the app, right? But it's an intentional pursuing of Jesus and serving for him. right? Remember Thaddeus? He was equipped to go out and spread the word. And we have to assume that he did just that. He didn't just go back home and sit on his hands and let the other 11 take care of it. We have to believe that he did his part for the kingdom of God. Right? Living a life after Jesus also means getting into the word, maybe starting or joining a Bible study. Start small. Right? We give you some tools with that Lent reading plan, the Jesus Storybook Bible. Those are great places to start if you haven't yet. Right? And if you're a Christ follower, are you still going after Jesus? Are you making him a priority in your marriage, in your kids, in your relationship? Or some of those things in life, have they started to sneak back in and get between you and this relationship with him? Are you starting to hang on to those things of the world? And as I wrap up, I want to kind of finish where we started in Matthew chapter 2. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Right now, I know this is normally a passage we associate with Christmas, obviously. But look at what the Magi says. It says, "When we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." Right after Jesus, even the stars in the sky were affected. And if the stars in the sky were affected after Jesus, imagine what he can do in you. If you're all in, man, imagine what he can do in you. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much that you love us like you do. I thank you that we can have that after Jesus moment in our lives. That we don't have to cling on to the world. We don't have to live like we've always lived. That we can let go of that and we can be all in with you. That we can have everything change in us. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that kind of love. I thank you for that kind of grace and mercy that you have for us. You sent your son for us so that we can have that kind of life after Jesus. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you for the people watching online. God, I pray for their own after Jesus moments, that they could be all in, that they could be all in with you, and they could be a light in this world so we could see renewal, so we could see hope restored. God, I thank you for the love you have for us. We give you grace. We give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After Jesus is a simple idea that could change your life. Right? It could change your marriage. It could change your attitude. It could change your relationships. Right? And if you are here for Easter, then you know that God is in the business of bringing life into things that were dead. Maybe that's where you feel like you are. Maybe you feel like, I feel nothing. God can bring that life back into you, right? It's why he sent his son. It's why we're sitting here today. Guys, we're gonna stand. We're gonna sing one more song, and we are going to celebrate the life that Jesus is bringing into us.